This is regional news coverage from the KBIA Newsroom. I'm Lucas Edson. U.S. Representative and senatorial candidate Todd Akin says he plans to recover his campaign after the criticism over his comments about rape and abortion. As KBIA's Jessica Reese reports, Akin addressed this at the Columbia Pachyderm Club on Friday.
2 weeks ago, Todd Akin's own party was asking him to step down as the Republican U.S. Senate candidate. The standing ovation for Akin when he walked into the Columbia Pachyderm Club told a different story. Akin says although his comments hurt him initially, the voters are still supportive.
And all across the state, the people that I'm meeting, just regular people, the ones who are going to be voting, those people are saying, we're with you.
Pachyderm Club member Wayne Amber says he first agreed Akin should give up his campaign. Now he's changed his mind.
I wasn't against him as much as I thought, well, probably is going to make it impossible for him to get elected, so we better choose somebody else.
Akin also spoke about other issues such as the economy, health care reform, and abortion. Jessica Reese, KBIA News.
Next month, the Supreme Court will take up the matter of race in college admissions, but Chuck May from the MU Admissions Office says the case will have no effect on the university since race is not a factor in undergraduate admissions.
If a student meets our admission requirements that are published, which all students and parents can see, then they are automatically admissible. And we have no cap on admissions, so there's no student that would take the place of another student that is eligible for admission.
May says if a student doesn't meet MU's minimum admission requirements, the application is sent to an admissions committee. The committee takes a holistic look at the strength of the student's academic program, trends in grades, and considers whether there were any extenuating circumstances in the student's background. In the case of Fisher versus the University of Texas, two white women sued the university, claiming they were denied admission because of their race. Lower courts ruled against the women, but the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case in October. The case could end or uphold affirmative action in admissions at public and private universities that accept federal funds. Missouri deer hunters are being asked to help the state determine the spread of chronic wasting disease, especially hunters in northern counties. The Department of Conservation will take tissue samples from September 15th through January from deer killed in six counties. Hunters are asked to take their deer to collection points that will be set up within the six counties. Joe Jarek is a spokesperson for the MDC. He says it's easy for hunters to get samples, and it's crucial to the MDC's containment efforts.
It only takes a few minutes to get a sample. There's no charge for that. And taking a sample does not reduce the food or mount value of harvested deer.
Chronic wasting disease attacks the central nervous system of deer. It can be spread by contact between animals and through the carcasses of diseased deer. The disease has been found in wild deer in north-central Missouri's Macon County. The iconic Cupid doll with its wide-eyed stare is turning 100 this year. The Springfield News Leader reports that the doll is the brainchild of Southwest Missouri artist Rose O'Neill. She created the Cupid character in 1909, rather, in her studio near Branson. Readers inspired by the stories and illustrations began requesting Cupids they could hold. A German factory made the first dolls in 1912, and they quickly became a global sensation. Two anti-war protesters are going on trial in federal court on misdemeanor charges of trespassing at Central Missouri's Whiteman Air Force Base. Ron Faust is a retired minister from Kansas City, and Brian Terrell is a member of the Catholic Worker Movement from Molloy, Iowa. Their trial is scheduled today in U.S. District Court in Jefferson City. Faust and Terrell were charged after entering the base near Knob Noster without permission in April during an organized protest of the use of unmanned military drones. Their lawyer said the men planned to plead not guilty. A third protester, Mark Kenny of Omaha, Nebraska, is serving a four-month prison sentence after pleading guilty in June to trespassing. A new study at Washington University in St. Louis suggests that adolescents with autism are much more likely to be bullied. The study comes from the Brown School at the university. It found that 46.3% of adolescents with an autism spectrum disorder were victims of bullying, compared to 10.6% of students in the general adolescent population. The study used national survey data. Results were published in the recent American Medical Association's Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. The lead author of the study, Paul Sturzing, is now an assistant professor at the School of Social Welfare of the University of California, Berkeley. He completed the study while he was a student at Washington University. A national consortium of scientists has sequenced the genome of a common type of lung cancer. The work suggests that the key to treating cancer may lie in understanding its genes,
as Veronique LaCapra explains.
Washington University helped lead the study, which mapped and analyzed genetic mutations in squamous cell carcinoma of the lung. The director of WashU's Genome Center, Richard Wilson, says the study identified mutations in lung tumors that are also found in other types of cancer. He says the work suggests the genetics of cancer are more important than where it first appears in the body.
I think we have to get away from this characterization of tumors based on what tissue they arise in. We've got to get to a point where we're able to use, you know, breast cancer drugs for lung cancer and vice versa.
Wilson calls cancer a disease of the genome and says the medical community needs to start treating it that way. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
Shannon Easton has made NFL history. Easton served as the line judge in Sunday's game of the St. Louis Rams against the Detroit Lions. That makes her the first woman to officiate in a regular season game. She became the first female official to work an NFL preseason game last month as the line judge when Green Bay played at San Diego. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has her cap and whistle from the preseason game, which will be put on display in Canton, Ohio. The 42-year-old Easton has been a referee in the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, college football's second highest level, and has 16 years of officiating experience. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.